time to go behind the scenes with the boys in gold. This is NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. Hosted by Tony Husband and Jamie Watson on your home for Nashville Soccer Club.
ESPN
94.9 and the Game Nashville app.
And good evening and welcome back to NSC Backstage from Tony and Jamie. It's Monday night, it's 60 minutes of soccer talk here on ESPN 94.9. And tonight, the man they call the Milkman, the man who was Nashville SC's first round pick in the 2020 MLS Super Draft, Jack Mayer, is our backstage guest. And we're delighted to have him on the show with us tonight. But first of all, Jamie, we had a weekend off. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Ready to see you. Last time we were on your airways, I woke up super ready to talk because we were a little bit fired up after the game against Inter Miami. Since then, well, we've had two games. And Tony, likewise, I woke up fired up, ready to talk about the two games because I think it was a very good and productive week. So here with you now, as always, the best part of my Monday.
Oh, best part, without a doubt.
And that bar is so low, by the way.
What are you comparing it to? I don't know. But the best part, I'm hoping, of our listeners Monday will be to hear the youthful wisdom of Jack Mayer, who will join us in our second segment tonight. We're just going to wrap up a few matters MLS in this first segment. We're also going to hear from the MLS Commissioner, Don Garber, as well, as we look ahead to this week's All-Star Game, which Walker Zimmerman of Nashville SC will be involved in. But it's been a weekend off for the boys in gold. A welcome rest after a pretty hectic schedule for them, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And we were very fortunate enough to get a chance to talk to Gary Smith, the manager for Nashville SC, and he let us know that he actually dangled a little carrot in front of the guys before the matchup against Orlando City. He said, depending how well we do in this game, we'll determine how many days off you have. So with that, they got one less day, I think, than they were set to had they have won. So their weekend was maybe a little bit shorter than ours, but they did get some much-needed rest. And as we start to round at this point in the season where there's 20 games played, Nashville SC are in a really good spot, sitting fourth. And when they stopped playing, actually, against Orlando City, they were in second place in the Eastern Conference. So I think spirits are high, much-needed weekend off. Now you get the All-Star game, and then you get back at it against Atlanta United away.
Hani Mukhtar did make the most of it, I noticed. Instagram, there he was, Miami Beach, jet skiing.
You have that same outfit I saw that he posted on. He's a good follow, by the way, on Instagram. Some of the players are really good follows.
Very, very trendy and up on their clothing and things, aren't they?
I mean, yeah.
There's some of the arrivals these days, you know, when it's gone is the day where the player trudges into the down the tunnel to the locker rooms. He's just got his boots under his arms and, you know, just dressed in a tracksuit or something like that. Now this is it's a fashion statement, isn't it?
It really is. My fashion statement in 2005, my rookie year, was when you just wore oversized clothes. You had frosted tips and a puka shell necklace. If you know what that is, you're old now officially. If you're young, just don't ever look it up. It was bad fashion. These guys, I would say some of them better than others. Hani's always looking sharp though, and the picture team, they make sure they look after him and get him some good photos because his Instagram is always up to date.
It is. It's a very good Instagram follow, that one for sure. Hani Mukhtar. Actually, speaking of Hani Mukhtar, let's wrap up what's happened in the last couple of games then since our last show. So we came off the back of the Miami game, a game that created so many talking points, a lot of frustration for people, disappointed, the long unbeaten run coming to an end. And then that made the game against DC United a really important one. And what a performance from Nashville SC. And we have a couple of highlights to pick out, including a certain Hani Mukhtar.
Here comes Nashville with Hani Mukhtar at the elbow of the 18. Mukhtar, curling shot, deflected, goal! They've done it again! Hani Mukhtar delivers! And they are flying now! The boys in gold gaze down at the red and black rubble of DC United. They have floored the feds. 3-1 Nashville.
Hani Mukhtar on target in a real statement comeback result against DC United, which was rounded off in the second half by a brace from a substitute who's someone who doesn't score a lot of goals. But that night, he was on the spot twice, including from 12 yards out, Alex Moyle.
Alex Moyil steps forward. A chance for his second goal tonight. Moyil takes and delivers. Alex Moyil off of the bench to put the polish on this gem of a night.
Awesome result. Another five-goal return at home. How important was that win?
That was massive, right? We talked about perspective going into the matchup. That this was, I think you brought this up astutely. You looked at the schedule. You said this will be the last point in the season in which there were back-to-back home games. So it makes it very important. And Nashville SC get through those two home games with 4 points. They get a response after going down early, conceding off of a corner. They get a response quickly. I believe it was 12 minutes later through CJ Sapong. Wonderful ball in from Randall Leao. And then one of the best passing sequences, probably one of my favorite goals that we've seen Nashville SC score in Major League Soccer, capped off an interception and then a subsequent 16-17 pass sequence that saw CJ Sapong score. Hani Mukhtar's goal, we just heard John Freeman give that, where he goes one-on-one with the confidence and brazen ability to just go at a player, beat him, gets the goal. 3-2 at half, very entertaining first half. If you were at the stadium, you were on your feet celebrating. You were riding a wave of emotions through the first 45 minutes. And then they were professional from then on out. They saw it through. Alex Wheel's goal made it 4-2, really broke the backs, and then 5-2 capped off a good combination play with Daniel Rios as well. So that was good to see him back in, getting some good minutes and also some significant minutes. But you started off that two-game stretch with a very important 3 points, which then took you into the Orlando City match.
So from the hyper press of Hernan Losada's DC United, you go into a very different type of side and opponent in Orlando. Now, they're minus Daryl DK and Nani, but they're still a very dangerous opponent. Very wet night on the banks of the Cumberland that night. And in the end, honors would be even, but Nashville would open the scoring against Orlando through that guy you mentioned. The guy is red hot right now, CJ Sapong.
Distributes left side to Matinho in the all-purple kit. He passes backwards and it's intercepted by Sapong. It's a two-on-two for Nashville. Sapong 40 yards away, 30 yards away, gives to Mukhtar, returns to Sapong, turns, fires, scores! It's him again! CJ Sapong!
Well, we're in an all-star week, but I think there's an all-star candidate that maybe on this occasion got a little bit overlooked, Jamie, because CJ Sapong, just outstanding. 9 goals for the season now. Top U.S. goal scorer in MLS.
That is a significant stat, because most teams and a lot of other teams are going around the world spending lots of money trying to find players to score. CJ Sapong was a free agent. What a bit of business done by Mike Jacobs and his staff to be able to go out to say the right things, to show CJ Sapong the plan, to say this is how we see you fitting into it. Tony, I said before the season when we talked about it, I thought he was a 10-goal scorer in this league. It looks like I'm selling him short. His career high is 16, and through 20 games, he's had a factor in every game. He's got 9 goals. He's been nothing short of stellar. But also, Hani Mukhtar, you heard them combine in that goal early on in the match, I believe 23rd minute against Orlando City. Hani Mukhtar is developing right before our eyes, a player that's in his prime, but he's developing in Major League Soccer as an impact player, and he's doing it both for himself and for others. He's making players around him better. 8 goals, 7 assists. That's a fantastic return. Those are designated player type numbers. And CJ Sapong with 9 goals, 3 assists. Those are center forward type numbers. You're getting some real contribution from there. And Randall Leao has been the unsung hero of that because so much of his work rate leads to those goals. 3 goals, 6 assists as well for him. So that front three right now playing brilliantly. How none of those three players end up on the All-Star list blows my mind, but especially Hani Mukhtar and CJ Sapong. That one, I think, is a little bit of regional biasy and maybe some star-studded biasy. When those names get listed, they don't, I guess they don't throw the same glitz and glamour at Nashville and Hani Mukhtar and CJ Sapong as some other players. But numbers don't lie, and those numbers are well worthy of all-star appearance in my eyes.
Now, weekend off, so that was 4 points from 6. In some ways, we've always known this season ultimately was going to come down to the second half of the season and the road trips. How well set up now is this Nashville SC roster for what is going to be a tough fall through towards the end of the season, and you know, as we move into winter and then move towards the playoffs, where is the platform for you?
Well, I think they did a really good job in getting a lot of points against some really good opponents, right? So Philadelphia, they got a win at home against New England Revolution. They've gotten 4 out of 6 points against them. You start to look at those games, those are teams that most opponents don't expect to get points against, right? So you got 7 points right there. There were times in which they did leave some points on the table. Absolutely. Has to be said. So could they be in a better spot? Would they expect themselves to be in a better spot? At the beginning of the season, I think they'd be very happy with fourth place where we sit today. And mind you, it was second last time that they walked off the pitch. I think when you look at the way that the season has unfolded, they would be pleased with that, and I think they should be pleased with it because they needed to go out. They needed to get a cushion, and when you start to look at some of the other teams before, Nashville sit on 32 points with Atlanta. This is a big game. They're still at 27 points, Columbus at 24 points, so there is a game or two room right now that you've left yourself in there, but you're going to have to go on the road, and what better time to do it than this weekend, which we'll talk a little bit more about later on, going away to Atlanta, a place they did get points earlier in the season against.
We will indeed. But this week, of course, is dominated by the All-Star Game in Los Angeles, Wednesday night. It's Major League Soccer, including Walker Zimmerman, against Liga MX. It's a big moment for the league. It's a moment, of course, that they wanted to have during 2020. It got postponed. Now it all comes together. And it is two leagues that are rivals, but also allies, I think it is fair to say. And there's a lot of talk about what the future kind of relationship can be between these leagues. Now, of course, we had Don Garber, MLS commissioner, in Nashville here with us just last week. We had a chance to sit down with him. And this is what he had to say about the All-Star Game and, of course, with Walker Zimmerman representing Nashville.
You know, it's good to be back generally, right? To finally, this game was going to be played as part of our 25th season celebration last summer. Great to be in one of our just spectacular new downtown stadiums in Los Angeles, Bank of California. Rabid fan base. They're really supportive of LAFC. But the real story is it's the beginning of a deeper connection between MLS and Liga MX. So they're all stars. The first time we'll come together, picking players that have already been selected from the top teams in Liga MX to play against our all-stars. That's going to continue this rivalry that Walker was part of the winning team in the Gold Cup a few weeks ago. The national team won again versus Mexico in the Nations League earlier in the year. And now we'll have a club version of this national sort of competition also added to this Leagues Cup. We just had two games last night, so we'll start playing more interleague competition.
Don Garber speaking to me last week, of course, he was referencing Leagues Cup as well, which has been taking place. Jamie, as someone who's a veteran of this league, who's played in this league, was drafted through this league, come through all the development, what do you see, just briefly, about the future relationship with our friends on the other side of the border?
Yeah, I think the Leagues Cup is a small introduction to it. I think this All-Star Game will get you some more familiarity to it as well. There'll be the skills competition tomorrow night. You should check that out. 5 different competitions. That'll be really fun, a little bit more laid back. But come Wednesday night for the All-Star Game, you will have the best 11 from this country versus the best 11 from Mexico. Both countries want to win because they know how it looks, the optics of it. This will not be a friendly. I think this will be a highly contested match, and I think we should start getting used to seeing more MLS versus Liga MX because I think there's a lot more of that coming in the future, and I think it'll be something that'll elevate Major League Soccer, also elevating Liga MX, sort of putting everybody continentally higher up in the pecking order around the world.
Well, we're going to talk more All-Star Game, more Walker Zimmerman, with somebody who knows him pretty well. Plays the odd game of chess against him, I think. He's in the waiting room, so we're going to leave him waiting not much longer. On the other side of the break, Jack Mayer will join us. You're listening to NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila.
Corner kick for Nashville SC. Supporters' hands go up. Flags waving. Hani Mukhtar sends the cross into the night. It's loose in front. They've scored! It's Jack Mayer! It's the Milkman! He delivers! It is first start of the year! And Nashville screams right back into it! They always do! Parity restored!
And now the real fight begins. 1-1, 62nd minutes.
And we welcome you back into part two, NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila, Tony Husband, Jamie Watson, and our special guest, complete with a glass of milk, Jack Mayer, joins us tonight. Jack, so good of you to join us, and so good of you to bring the milk as well. And, well, we just heard that moment, and, you know, you get shivers listening to it. So what is it like for you to think back to that moment, your first MLS goal on your first start of the season as well?
Yeah. Honestly, you'll never forget your first. And this was an unbelievable moment in front of the home fans. Everyone was absolutely losing their mind, including me. I'm thinking back to that goal. If you actually watch the replay over of like the celebration, I have absolutely no idea what to do with my hands. I got a lot of stick from them. And also, Dax like kind of shepherds me to the corner and then like to the fans. Like, this is how you're supposed to celebrate, Jack. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this, scored a goal in an MLS game, but like, this is how it should go.
That's hilarious. Exactly. What goes through your mind then? It's your first start, right? You've just come back from this loan, and we'll peel the layers back of that and what it was like to go on loan and stuff like that. But in all honesty, did you actually think that would happen as the game started, that you would find a way onto the score sheet before the night started?
No. Absolutely not. All I'm thinking of right before that game is, all right, let's have a good first 10 minutes, and then you're in the game. It's just like any other game you've been playing for the rest of your life. And then we got the win. Luke Hawkinson buries two for us late. This guy's incredible. So hats off to Luke for pulling through for the boys, but no, it was an incredible moment.
And you know what as well, Jack? I think it's one of those goals. You know, look, your first goal, you'd take any goal. If somebody had smashed it in and it hit you on the backside and gone in the net and you claimed the goal, I know you would. But, hey, this was a quality finish. And it was one of those that the more you watch the replay, I know you're focusing on maybe how you celebrated. I actually, as the commentator, look back at it and think, wow, do you know what? This is a really sweet finish.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one that I couldn't really pick it up until late. And then I was just able to make a little move last minute, cut back to the ball, and the ball was perfect, what Hani does. And so fantastic assist. And luckily I knew if I just got something on it and it made it through the traffic, the goalie probably was not going to be able to see it. And it was going to hit the back of the net. So I'm pumped.
Absolutely took it well. Took it like a seasoned pro. So Jack, we got to ask you first off, you still living with Alistair? We just had him on a couple weeks ago. He had a lot of things to say about you. I wanted to get this in front of you early because that means you have more time to obviously give him stick. He had a little stick for you here and there. What's that like living with him? Okay. And just don't hold back. I mean, do hold back because we want to keep the show going and we don't want to have to, you know, get fined. But what's it like living with Alistair? What's he like as a roommate?
Alistair is unique. Let's put it that way. He has his daily regimens and regimens and everything like that. And someone that he eats unbelievably healthy. It's incredible. It's honestly unbelievable. One weird thing that Alistair does, he's in the other room right now, so he can probably hear me. But whenever he's just like sitting down, we'll be playing cards. Elliot Panico, who's on loan right now in Austin, we're just like last year playing cards all the time. And Alistair does this weird thing with his feet that he just like sits there with his big toes crossed over his like second toes.
What?
It's some weird stuff. Yes, I'm telling you. This is just some weird stuff. It's just one of the little things that he does, but he is crazy, crazy.
Tony, get that thought out of your head.
Shit. That's,
no, Tony. No.
This is
Tony.
I was worried you were going to take us down the dark passage that was all about the spicy food and everything that he told us about. He loves the hottest food possible. But I wasn't expecting that we would end up on toes. But
But here we are.
But here we are.
here we are.
Yeah. Well, listen. Let's talk about the, you know. Hey, last year you guys are rookie life, and hey, rookie life would not have been more bizarre than rookie life in pandemic. I mean, just give us an insight into what that was actually like, and actually how important it was that you guys, you know, had each other around as the world navigated something, you know, that no one had been through, and you were at such an important moment at the start of your professional sports careers.
Yeah, I think we can all say that our rookie year will be the most unique of any rookie that has ever been in the MLS, and just crazy stuff. We went and the facility was still being put into place, and we were getting the final touches on our fantastic facility at Curry Ingram. And so our first 2 months, like January and February, we were down in Florida for preseason. And then we finally get back to Nashville. You hear how great of a city it is. And then just like that, everything gets shut down. And you're just, I was on loan at the time and ended up getting recalled. And then everything is just dead. You're just sitting in your apartment. Granted, I had Alistair. We were playing a bunch of 22 in Fortnite and just things we do. But yeah, just extremely bizarre. I think we had three preseasons. But you know what? We were able to make through it and had a really good run last year, especially with the playoff run that we had.
Yeah, that is a crazy year for everyone. But also as a rookie, I can't imagine you're trying to establish a new normal, and it'll never hopefully be normal like that ever. And so now we fast forward to this year. You go on loan and you go to San Diego, which, by the way, if you're being told you're going alone, there's worse places you can go. You know what I mean? You're like, all right, this conversation is taking a turn for a point in which I'm okay with. But you know you're going because you're going to get games, right? And so you get this stretch of five games where you get a chance to start. You're playing every minute. It's significant. You are an important part of the team. The team is undefeated while you're playing. What was your mindset when you went down? Because some players go down with a poor mindset. I don't want to be here. I'm an MLS guy. Why am I playing in the USL Championship? And some players go in with a mindset like, I'm going to make the most of it. How did you maintain a good mindset? And was there something that was a catalyst for that?
Yeah, I think a little bit of it was my previous history with St. Louis FC whenever they were a USL team before they ended up folding. But I was lucky enough to be an academy player and for two seasons with them. And then I also had a short little stint with Charlotte. And I knew going into it that, you know what, the USL Championship level is a really good level. And they have a lot of guys that could be potential MLS guys on a given day, a little bit inconsistent here and there. But the level as a whole is a very good level and they have really good players. And then once I got there to be coached by Landon Donovan, it's not something a lot of players can say. And just from day one, he really took me under his wing, just made it really personal, and is just a really humble guy. So I knew I was going into a professional environment and a well-coached one, and just glad to have had the experience.
And nevertheless, when the moment came to come back to Nashville, it was all pretty quick, wasn't it? It was a swift recall, swiftly onto the field, and swiftly into that goal that we just heard.
Right around Father's Day too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. So the last game at in San Diego, my family had actually just like flown out to the game, and some of my friends were vacationing from Indiana, had just gone out to San Diego for like a week or so. And so they were at the game. They all were flying out like later the next day, and I got a call to you're going to need to be on a flight in like 2-3 hours. Like, can you make it? And it's quickly pack everything up and get back to Nashville.
Wow. And you did just in time.
Yeah.
Because then you had a really good run. And since then, you've had this fantastic run of games where I personally think, and I've said this on the broadcast several times, Tony, when we've had this discussion, as we're talking to Jack Mayer, defender for Nashville SC here on NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila, I think part of the reason Gary Smith has shifted to this 3-4-3, look, obviously the front three have been playing fantastic. They've got a real cohesion about them. I actually think you're a big catalyst for this as well because of your play with Walker Zimmerman and Dave Romney. You know, when Walker was here before Gold Cup, then since then it's been Jaleel and Ababa anchored in there as well with Dave Romney. But I think you've been so good, it's been difficult to have Gary Smith take you off the field. What is playing with Walker Zimmerman and Jahlil Anibaba and Dave Romney, Eric Miller in there as well, a whole host of veterans. What has that done for you, and how has that helped you develop since you returned alone or from loan?
Yeah, these guys are proven MLS vets. And especially whenever you're a young player, you know that you're playing right next to guys that have seen it all. And having a guy like Walker Zimmerman, Defender of the Year, not too bad to play next to.
Yeah, he's good, right? He's okay at soccer.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He has his moments, you know? Don't tell him I said that, of course. But he's been instrumental, and especially some of the stuff that he tells me just off the field. It's the little, hey, whenever you're doing this, you should probably think of this. And just the little side talk, because he's seen it all. He's the best center back in the best defender in the league right now. And so being able to learn from him, Jahlil, who's played over 200 MLS games, and Dave, who, I mean, we keep saying that he's a top center back in the league. And he just doesn't get enough credit because he is very, very good at what he does. Just being able to come in to a back line like that, I think that they've really made it easy.
Question we had from the fans, Jack, just from moving from the playing staff that you're working alongside to the coaching staff that you're working under. Scott Gillis got in touch with us via social media channels today and said, what's your experience working with the coaching staff from a younger player's perspective? Do they focus more on developing him and you as a professional, or is it primarily on the tactical side? So give us an insight into how you're maturing under both Gary Smith and Steve Guppy and the rest of the coaching staff.
Yes, that's actually a really good question. What's pretty interesting about just being under this coaching staff is Steve Guppy, Brett Jacobs, who are the two main assistant coaches, they really focus on the little habits, the being a professional, doing things consistently each and every day, the extra 1% that you can get out of practice. And especially coming from a coach like Steve Guppy, who has done it all, been there, done that, and had a very successful career, you just want to do whatever he says. And then Gary is more on the tactical side. Whenever he ends up talking with you, it is more X's and O's and getting your positioning right. This is what we should do whenever they're pressing with two. This is what we should do when they're pressing with three. And just being able to learn from one of the best defensive coaches in the history of the MLS, I think it's been pretty good for me.
Thank you to Scott for a great question there to Jack. We've got some more fans' questions to come. And indeed, we're going to continue talking with Jack Mayer after this short break. You are listening to NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. And we welcome you back, Tony Husband, Jamie Watson, and our special guest tonight backstage is Nashville SC defender Jack Mayer. So Jack, we talked a little bit about this season, about your experiences on loan, experiences of being a rookie in a pandemic year. Let's wind it back a little bit to growing up in Caseyville, Illinois. Tell us a little bit about the area you grew up in, indeed, how you first really got into playing the sport of soccer. I know that you're from a family that are full of brothers who are all very competitive. But how did it all start for you?
Yeah, so Caseyville, very, very small city. I think we got probably 1,500 people that live in the city. So pretty small in the middle, pretty much nowhere. But growing up with my three brothers, my oldest one is now in law school at Mizzou, and actually was not able to play like contact sports because he had two liver transplants growing up. And my two younger brothers play soccer. One is on Indiana right now, and the other is unfortunately playing for St. Louis City. So they just got that new academy team for them. I wanted to get him out here to Nashville, but he's with their U17s right now and doing really well. So,
and growing up, what was the competition like? I mean, so there's three mayors out there. I mean, you mentioned Joey's Indiana, Josh is with St. Louis. What was the competition like? And indeed, were you a soccer family?
So growing up, my parents actually did not play soccer. My dad likes to think he knows a lot about soccer, but he honestly doesn't. So whenever we were really little, he put together like this 3v3 team, just pick like five other guys that were my age. And what ended up happening is he found Aiden Stanley, who is on roster and like the left back for Austin. Right now he found like a Xavier tennis player. He ended up being like a Xavier tennis player and like a few other D1 athletes. Like, he thinks he's the best coach, the best recruiter in the game. He just got lucky with who he like ended up choosing. But it was fantastic. My brothers, we would always play soccer. Like, we would play soccer all the time, like in the house. It was so competitive. We would absolutely break everything. The running joke in our family is we were so competitive. We broke everything. We even broke my little brother Joey's head. So we were heated one day, and Joey was actually beating me for once in soccer. Just like the goals were the couches or whatever. And I gave him a little shove, a little love tap. That's what I like to call it. Ended up falling down, getting like a big gash in his head, and he had to get taken to like the emergency room. And so we're a competitive family, and that's just how it's going to be. It's been fantastic, though.
I mean, like a true center back, you know, true defender, it's either him or me.
Warrior.
So it was not going to be
a warrior, whether it be in the living room with the couch or out on the soccer field. Absolutely.
My career, I was the Joey in that situation, having bigger guys like Jack going against you. Now, when you look at this, and it's cool kind of hearing the background of what your family is like and the competitive nature from it. Let's say soccer wouldn't have been on the cards for you, right? Let's say you had to strike that from the possible occupations that you could have done in life. What would you have done? And what would you have been if you wouldn't have been a soccer player?
Yeah. So with the academy system that was put into play with just the development academy, all that stuff, I had to choose at going into eighth grade, like if I wanted to full-time do soccer or I wanted to play all the sports, but I wouldn't be involved in the development academy. And I ended up choosing soccer, thank God. But I like would always think, hey, what if I was like a three sport athlete at my small little high school, like who knows, you know, that would have been an absolute blast.
Homecoming King too, probably.
Campus, but instead I wasn't. Say it again, Jamie.
Homecoming King as well. If you're a three sport, I mean, you've just been everything. Like, what can't Jack Mayer do?
Yeah.
No, but let's say, exactly. What would you have done? How would life have turned out? Where would you be right now? Let's say you're out of IU. You got your degree there. What would the degree have been? And what would you have been doing? Perfect world.
Yeah. So actually I'll be honest with you. If I wasn't playing soccer, I would not have gone to Indiana. I know it's a fantastic institution, but I would have gone to Mizzou. My parents met at Mizzou. My older brother went to Mizzou. My room was even painted black and gold growing up.
Wow.
So we are Tigers through and through. So I would definitely be at Mizzou. I mean, that's a good question. I'd probably be studying like some business or something, planning local like flag football leagues and just having the time. But now this would have been my senior year actually right now. So now we're here. Life is good, but that's what I would be doing right now. I'd probably be at Columbia, Missouri, just enjoying my time.
I know you've got one, Tony, but that, you know what that means when a player says that, as you hear Jack Mayer, defender for Nashville, as he say that here on NSC Backstage presented by Camarena Tequila. That means he was always really good, and he knew he was going
to
be a professional athlete, and he never thought
about
anything
else.
He just was like, I'm going to be a professional athlete, and that's it. There's no plan B, so plan A has to work. That's how you know a guy was really good as a kid growing up. This was the only option he ever thought of.
I was actually wondering, Jack, whether you maybe just change that story slightly to say that growing up that your bedroom was always decorated in the colors of Vanderbilt, because you're pretty close there in the black and gold as well.
You could have played to the crowd.
You could,
Think know your
market.
Audience.
Think of the market.
I should have done it.
And I just want to ask one thing about it. I love hearing about the rivalry among brothers and kids growing up. And how much you think maybe that spurred you on, though, to succeed? The fact that you had competition, not just when you went out to play sports at school and into college, but you had competition, you know, within your household.
Yeah. So I mean, it didn't feel like we were doing anything out of the blue. It was just we had a lot of time growing up. My mom really wouldn't let us play video games that much. And so we'd just go outside and play soccer for hours. And whether it was soccer, we'd play basketball. I mean, we were just always competing. And that is really what just stems success is we're doing something we love. And it doesn't matter what we're doing. We're ending up like spending time and getting better together. And I think that sharing a passion for something and surrounding yourself with people that have that same passion, have the same drive, have the same goal, you just end up finding a way to be successful at it.
So you have your brother Josh at St. Louis and you've got Joey early stages Indiana. Do you look to the day where Josh, Joey and Jack Mayer are all playing in Major League Soccer? And maybe coming up against each other. And suddenly it's no longer the living room. It's no longer the sofas. It's actually the real thing. Do you think about that? Do you talk about that?
It's actually funny you bring that up. I was actually talking to Eric Miller on the team today. This guy is eventually going to be a GM one day or a high up in a front office. And I always give him a little stick. Like, hey, hypothetically down the road, whenever you're like the GM for whatever hypothetical team, like, would you take me and my brothers? Like, hypothetically, of course.
He's a player and an agent.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a player and an agent. And he goes, absolutely, Jack, we're gonna have all three of you guys. And so, you know what, drives a steep bargain, but no, like, we think about it all the time, and it's something that we're open to just like sharing each other's goals and dreams and stuff like that. And something that we always talk about. And so that hopefully that day will come. But time will tell.
That's interesting. Cause I don't know if there's ever been a set of three brothers that have played in the league.
Well, Steve Guppy is probably the only person alongside me, who may know this, but three brothers called the Wallaces played for Southampton, which was Steve Guppy's kind of hometown team in the late 80s, early 90s. But yeah, it's something that does not happen very often. I was going to say, I don't, you know, has it ever happened in MLS that three brothers have played in a team?
I don't think so. Yeah. No, because there's such a big deal about like the Higuain brothers and Miami. I mean, brothers are the same. There's David Ferreira played for FC Dallas. Now his son, Jesus Ferreira, plays there. I know we're now getting to the point where that's a thing. If we're talking about your kids, that's when you know you've been playing for a long time.
Pretty
right?
Old game.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, don't worry. I'm already putting my kid in front of Gary, and I'm like, hey, you see the way he's five, you know, almost six. Let's go ahead and let's put some discovery rights on this kid, you know?
Yeah.
showing him clips on my phone from our Saturday games at 8 a.m. As we start to kind of maybe tie it in from those beginnings to where you are now here in Nashville and living here in Nashville, Jack, what's like an off day for you? Like, what would you like to do? Are you spending it with that roommate of yours, Alistair, or are you getting far away? Where are you taking your family to eat when they come in town? What is maybe, because you had an off weekend, what does an off weekend look like for you?
So let's just stick to an off day. My off day first was, I mean, it'll be very simple. I'll probably hang out with Alistair for a little bit. We'll probably play Fortnite or something. I just started up some classes that I've been taking through Indiana to hopefully finish my degree. But my restaurant of choice right now, North Italia, if you ever get a chance to eat their chicken parm, it is fire.
Great spot. Great spot.
It's incredible. It's incredible. You have to go to North Italia. This place is ridiculous.
The one Green Hills Mall, is it? Right out there?
Green Hills.
Yeah. They just opened one as well in Franklin for us down south in Spring Hill. We were very looking forward to that one. I used to drive 45 minutes to go to that one at Green Hill. It's that good. All right, so you've got Alistair in the morning, Fortnite. I'm glad you clarified that it was classes at IU because you said, been playing Fortnite, starting to take classes. I was worried you were taking some private lessons at Fortnite. And so you got your homework
done.
No,
but if that was an option, Walker Zimmerman would be taking classes. I promise you that.
He's not good because he has the gamer chair, the headset. Are you saying Walker Zimmerman is not good at Fortnite?
I'm not saying that. He would absolutely come to Fortnite.
He doesn't want another prank like last year where his car was filled up. He knows.
Oh,
No, but
the
cotton
balls are off the table this year.
Yeah. Are you still playing some chess with Walker when you get a chance? Because you told us preseason you were playing some chess against him.
We would play chess with each other, but our new game now is Euchre. And we're playing on the same team whenever he is like holding his baby Tucker. He has like one hand free. And he'll just like call me out of the blue, FaceTime me. Hey, Jack, Euchre, now let's go. And so I hop on Euchre. Him and me, very good together. So we're up for competition. If anybody wants to hop on and challenge us, we're all for it.
I love a game of Euchre. I think I was a Midwest guy in a previous life because that is the most quintessential. Tony will have no clue what this
I've heard
is.
Of it. I'm actually struggling to know what I'm going to have to be reminded of actually how Euchre works. I have heard of it.
I'll explain to you, and maybe I can – maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll teach Tony. I'll give him some classes. And then Tony and I can take on you and Walker one day when we have some time and play Euchre. It's this Midwest game that normally is played in a basement somewhere in the dead of winter. It's a great game. But yeah,
It sounds like a game for maybe a rain delay or something.
Yes.
You know, when we
got a
rain delay game,
it'll kill some time for sure.
You can send Alistair out to do the weather forecast. and then we'll play.
Speaking
we'll
of which, is he around there? What's it? Hey, by the way, do you guys talk? Is he around? Do you guys talk to each other after a game? Do you? Is it friendly? Are you able to leave it at the stadium or do you get back and you're like, hey, bud, you really left me out to dry with that pass there? Or, what were you doing not getting back? You think I just got you covered defensively all night? What's it like having the right side, strong side with Alistair and you over there?
Right side, strong side, right. No, we take it back here. We talk about it all day. We're normally on the same side. We're like, hey, that was crazy whenever that play happened. Like, couldn't have ever expected it. But it's crazy. Like, we'll be just, like, going over video individually and then, hey, what were you thinking on this play? I'll go walk into his room or call him outside and I'll just like point out this clip and he'll be like, yeah, I was thinking that, but I don't know what I was doing. Or just vice versa. So we talk about it a lot and it's been great. It's been great. I don't know what Alistair's doing. He's in the other room. Hopefully he can hear me, but
he's playing
I
Euchre.
He's
practicing Fortnite in Euchre trying to get better while you're here with us.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Get a leg up.
Let's wrap it up quickly, Jack, with the last few questions. The one question I just got to ask you is, to whom do we give the credit for the fact that you are known as the milkman? Who, I mean, I'm guessing this is a family thing. You just love drinking milk growing up?
Yeah, so you can actually credit Nashville SC for that one.
Wow.
I'd never had that nickname before preseason this year, and I think it was Dax McCarty was asking us questions at the – you know, normally as a rookie, you got to like stand on a chair, sing a song, and Dax asks you questions. It's like a little orientation thing. And it got brought up like, oh, Jack, how many gallons of milk do you normally drink a week? I'm like, well, my family, whenever I was little, my mom would buy 7 gallons of milk to feed.
What?
Like, yes.
7 gallons. How many liters is that, Tony?
A lot of liters. Yeah.
My family, it would be crazy stuff. And we'd go through it probably in like a week or something. And so that got brought up. I'm like, here in Nashville, I'm probably drinking like a gallon a week or something like that. And they thought it was hilarious and had a field day with it and just ran with it. So I'm going to give credit to Dax on that one.
And very quickly, a couple of people have asked. Actually.
I was just going to say, we got a lot of fan questions
go on,
about
go on,
this.
Jamie, we've got at least a couple of questions on the milk.
Here we go. So one, Ronan said, thoughts on the heathens that drink any percent other than whole milk? And PNW Brent said, skim 2% whole almond, soy, oat, or something else. So you take this. What do you think about the heathens that drink anything other than whole percent?
I'll rank them. I don't think heathens drink anything else than 2% or anything other than whole milk. But number one, 2%. It's my go-to. Anytime I go to the store, I'm getting 2%.
The old green top.
Blue top.
Blue here in America.
Oh, sorry.
That's metric system,
English.
Tony.
Yeah.
Exactly. Much different. So 2%, number one, whole milk. Number two, like 1% if they have it. Number three, and then skim milk last.
Yeah, and then 4 through 78 and skim at the very end. Jack, you passed the test. That is exactly the right answer.
Perfect.
Well, we've discovered a lot about milk. I've discovered a lot about Yuka. So we have to wrap this up, Jack, but I want to just finish with matters on the field and how this season is going. You spoke to Jamie and I preseason, and I wrote down a quote you said to us. We need to put stars on our jerseys. You've got to shoot for an MLS Cup. That's, you know, it was shooting for the stars. Right now, where you are, how do you feel about the season is going, and what are your aspirations as we go into what's going to be a really fascinating kind of second half of the season?
Yeah, our expectation is to win an MLS Cup. I think that we have a really good team and a team that can definitely do it. And it's just our expectation, you know. Whenever you're surrounded by a group as talented as we are with DPs and everyone hitting at the right time, once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. And we have a team that our coach has had proven success winning MLS Cups prior. And we got a belief in our group that, you know what, this could be the year. And so, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I know the fans are looking forward to it, but I just can't wait for continued success and hopefully get an MLS Cup, because that's our expectation.
Been fantastic talking to you tonight, Jack. We are very grateful for you dialing in, and also for the fact that Alistair didn't gate crush the conversation, but send him our regards and a big thanks to you, and good luck at Atlanta this weekend.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Jack.
There we go, Jack Mayer. Okay, we'll wrap it up and look ahead to Atlanta after the break. This is NSE Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. It's our final segment. Welcome back, Nashville SC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. It's been quite a powerful day on the airwaves of ESPN across Nashville. Driving to the station tonight, listening to Jared Stillman and paying tribute to Floyd Reese. We know what a huge part of the ESPN family he was locally. So everyone from Nashville SC sends their condolences to all those touched by Floyd Reese down the years. And obviously a huge loss, and a very, very special part in Tennessee sport that he's played, Jamie.
Huge part. It's a family here at ESPN, but also the sports community. So Titans general manager Floyd Reese, our thoughts and condolences with his family and his friends today. Beautiful tribute today, all throughout the day on the station. Our condolences across the board from Nashville SC to his family and his friends.
Absolutely. Well, we've got in these last few minutes of the show an opportunity to just look ahead to this weekend, Jamie. We'll be back on ESPN 94.9 this weekend. Don't forget that the national television coverage of this weekend is over on 2DN. If you wish to get the pictures of the game up, maybe turn the sound down. You can listen to us on the radio call this weekend of that one. It's a 2:30 Central kick time, and we're looking forward to what is looking like going to be quite a big challenge for Nashville SC, because they're up against Atlanta side, finally finding some form, four wins in a row. But when Nashville went there earlier in the season, they were 2-0 down late in the game, and they did this.
Lovitz cuts on to his non-dominant foot, the right foot, brushes for LaGrasso, returns back to Lovitz, cuts it back in front. Hani Mukhtar scores! Nashville right back in it! They're back in it.
Hawkinson goes down. No call. Nashville with possession. Right side. And CJ Sapong cutting in. Sapong squares it in front. Across the shot. Blocked. Rebound. Scores! Hani Mukhtar! Tie game! Incredible!
Tied game there. Tied game here. Jamie, what kind of game are we going to get this weekend?
I hope not a tie, right? Hopefully all 3 points. No, that was it was two incredible games. That result late on that you just heard, Hani Mukhtar's brace in Atlanta, showed that there are some vulnerabilities to this Atlanta United defense on the road. I do think they figured out a few problems. I don't think they've turned the corner fully yet. Rob Valentino did a great job of stabilizing a very rocky ship there. And Gonzalo Pineda, the former Seattle Sounders manager, will make his debut on the sideline. So it'll be an uplift. I do think there will still be some things to figure out if he's implementing some ideas. I don't expect the collective group to fully grasp onto him. But what I do think an intangible that will see an uptick is a renewed sense of enthusiasm when you have a new manager come in and you get a chance to hopefully get a fresh start, make an impression for yourself in front of the new coach. And so I do think that is an X factor to this match. there can be some youthful exuberance to it. Does he change the lineup as well? That'll be something I'll be intrigued with. Does he sort of just go with what has been laid out in front of him? But I do think that if Nashville can manage to start the game off faster, maybe expose some of the areas in which Atlanta gets spread out defensively, I do think that they leave themselves open, especially on counterattacks. You absorb some pressure, you break out quickly, and I'll be interested to see what the mindset is of the group going away from home again. Last time they were on the road was that loss to Miami that could have very easily been a win in the 89th minute, but instead it goes the other way. So I'll be interested to see what this group does. They gave a good response over the last two home games. What's the response the next time they go on the road? We'll find out. At Atlanta, 2:30 Central kickoff. You can join us for coverage. Like you said, Tony, 2:15 p.m. on 94.9 The Game. We're looking forward to bringing that to you.
Absolutely, we are. Gary Smith has been, you know, quite open with us to say, you know, we're not seeing the same Nashville SC on the road this season yet that we've seen at home. Where have they got to mature? Where have they got to evolve a little bit?
Well, I think that the mentality that they have at Nissan Stadium is an invincible one. The team hasn't been changing very much on the road, so try to carry that same level of confidence on the road. I'd actually be okay if they expose themselves a little bit more on the road because they take a few more chances going forward. They've got some very capable, some of the best 1v1 defenders in the league here. You don't want to put them on the back foot too much, the defenders, but if that maybe means you're taking a chance or two more perhaps to go forward and to maybe guess the defender may take a heavy touch. I'm going to apply some more pressure, or I'm going to just join in. Sort of like CJ Sapong took a chance reading the pass from João Moutinho, the left back for Orlando City, took the chance to jump the route. He picks it off and he goes the other way, 2-on-2 with Hani Mukhtar. So much confidence here. The game isn't different. It's just different surroundings. Can you take that same mentality they've had at home? Can they carry that over on the road? Take a few more chances. And if they do, I fully expect this team can go to Atlanta and get all 3 points and come back to Nashville and host NYCFC on Friday night, September 3rd, with 3 points in the bag and a chance to grab some more points at home.
Jamie, we'll look forward to it.
I can't wait.
Great hour. Really enjoyed that. And don't forget, of course, we will be back with The Call with John and Wes this weekend, 2:15 Central Time. Saturday afternoon soccer for you, Atlanta against Nashville SC. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back a week from tonight with another edition of NSC Backstage. We are presented by Camarena Tequila. Many thanks as well to our producer, Max Hertz, behind the glass. And we will see you in a week's time. Take care.